Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vix Layton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. So, yes, welcome to Comedy Arcade. The rules are very simple. I have a bingo ball full of random topics that I will draw. And when I draw the bingo balls, my three lovely guests in the studio will pitch a story in and aim to win points from me, a capricious and prone to favouritism judge. I will judge them on entertainment value and funny. So with that in mind, each person has been issued with three trick cards. These cards can only be played once per game. So you've got to get your card in. So if Maureen Younger, guest number one.
Hello there.
Plays new
Hello
balls. There. That means Tom Tuck, guest number two.
Hello.
That means you can't play. You can't play that card. They're dead.
Oh, right.
They're dead to you. They can only
I was going to ask as a point of order, like, can we all play Fruit Machine before the last round?
It's only
it gets randomised three times.
So it's only once.
Yeah, that's the rub.
I'm livid already. I'm livid. Especially because Maureen's got notes. I'm like, can I Fruit Machine now? I want to use my Fruit Machine now.
I'm just looking forward to playing with new balls.
Ooh. Anyway. And guest number three, who you've now heard, the lovely, lovely Esther Manito.
Oh, the lovely.
Yeah.
You're the only person to have described me as that, so I'll take it.
The Arab Essex fusion of comedy.
Sound like a menu.
I was doing my research.
What's Essex cuisine? Oh, welts and
nuggets.
Hummus.
Fucking nuggets.
Order.
Oh, Lord.
Right, let's roll those balls. Oh, the drama. Right, and we have got first ball out. It's ball number one. And that is inappropriate crushes.
Oh. Yeah, I can go there.
Yeah, oh. I've got a bad one.
Well, you know, as you know, you probably don't know, I have pretended to be in my late 30s for the last decade.
You are not in your late 30s.
I'm 42, which is kind of late 30s. 44, 46, anyway, late 30s. But when I was 40, so let's say in 2 years' time, I dated a guy who was 17 years younger than me.
Ooh.
And he was stunning, the most sexiest man I've ever met. And I remember my best friend at one point saying, it was a pity you didn't meet him in your mid-20s. I thought probably not, he would have been eight. But and I wouldn't be mentioning that on a podcast. But I have to say, and this is only for the women will appreciate this, Esther and Tom, sorry, you won't get this, but I'll describe the sex. The sex was like movie sex, ladies. You know when the woman enjoys it too? Look at Tom, nothing.
I think I watch different movies.
But yeah, that was inappropriate crush, but a lot of fun, I have to say.
Oh. Nice, Esther.
But that's not just a crush, that's a relationship.
Yeah. I think a relationship was going a bit too far. It was a relationship.
Isn't crush where it's one-sided?
I mean, to be fair, it was meant to be a one-night stand, but he came back for more because I'm very good.
Oh, hello. Tom's just edged nearer.
Maureen, single everybody.
Well, at time of recording.
True. No, I was thinking more like Aladdin, for example, like the cartoon.
Sorry.
Or the fox.
I'm sorry.
Or the fox from Cat Robin Hood. He'd get it, wouldn't he?
What? I didn't miss that.
The fox. My inappropriate crush, which is so unethical, and it's Michael Barrymore.
Oh, well, wow. You just beat me there.
Tell me
in inappropriateness.
I know. It's inappropriateness, and he may potentially be, you know, criminal.
A wrong'un.
Yeah. But growing up, I always had a thing for him. I think because he was tall.
That is a problem for women. Are they hot or are they tall?
Yeah. I think because he was tall and he was quite funny and also didn't seem very like, obviously because he was gay, but I didn't know that when I was young.
I don't think he did.
Neither did his wife.
No. But like he just never, I don't know, I just fancied him. He was funny and tall and he wore a suit. That's all I needed.
It's good to have standards, yeah. I think, yeah. Esther. It's good.
I think I should get some heels.
Inappropriate on many levels. Well, you are as tall as Maureen is 30. So in this
very
scenario.
Short, is what she's trying to say.
You're a completely average size.
He's actually sitting on a few pillows as we speak. But anyway.
So yeah, that was round one, Tom. Unless you've got an inappropriate crush.
I don't think I can top Barrymore.
I mean, Barrymore.
There's nothing wrong with
Cat Daly.
I think that's an entirely appropriate crush to have.
Yeah, why did you think that was inappropriate?
What was your inappropriate one?
Cat Daly.
Why is that?
No, that's totally inappropriate.
Okay, fine.
We all remember.
I've lost this round, I think.
SMTV.
Why would that be inappropriate? No, I'm interested now. Why is that an inappropriate?
Good.
Why?
Esther sounds really angry now. She's like, why?
I don't know.
Look, it was the best he could do.
He panicked.
He could come up with.
He panicked.
Totally panicked.
That's mental. That's like me going, oh my God, a totally inappropriate crush. But it's like, oh.
George Clooney.
Pit. Yeah. Why is that inappropriate? I'm just such
niche.
A silly. Oh, I'm so silly. I'm so quirky. Oh, I fancy Cat Daly. Oh, I'm just out there, me.
Yeah. Out there with that tall, leggy
Michael
blonde
fucking
lady.
Barrymore. Don't make me look like a psycho by going, oh, hot young guy and Cat Daly, and I've said Michael Barrymore.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
I'm never going to work again.
Yeah, probably. Well, another facade, to be honest, at the moment.
Right, let's move on, shall we?
I'm livid.
From that bombshell.
You were livid at the start.
Yeah. Right, the balls are going. Balls are going again.
Some are stuck to the gaffer tape.
There's no gaffer tape.
What
are you talking about? This is a high production value.
The cameras are there. They can see it.
Oh, hot damn. All right, number 20. We've got breakup stories. Anybody got a good one of those?
Well.
Tom would be like, yeah, it was really respectful. We're still friends.
Yeah. I went to a wedding. Yeah.
I did go to Beth's wedding and I cried a lot.
Oh no, you should always hate. No. Okay, I'm gonna give
Cat Daly's his ex.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell the story about Beth because I think I was in love with Beth from the moment I met her.
Does she look like Cat Daly?
Yeah, slightly actually.
It's Cat Daly's sister, that's why it was inappropriate.
Her name was Beth. Mealy.
I knew I had a thing for when I bought an ill-advised round of 20 shots to impress her.
Oh,
bloody hell.
For you to drink yourself?
That's not.
I drank 11 of them.
That's really dumb. I bought her a lot of alcohol.
Got her pissed.
Slipped her some drugs. Oh, and Michael Barrymore's immoral.
Now I'll skip the jacuzzi. But it was at university and she was going to go abroad for a year because she was doing French. And then, so we always knew, like, going to be interrupted. But then one night we had an argument and I have no idea what the argument was about.
Such a blokey thing. I don't know what I said. Well, anyway, go on.
I just called her a fat slut and she
got really livid.
So emotional, proper hormonal about it.
Even when I told her I like fat sluts.
The only thing I remember about the end of the argument was the phrase, "It's not all about you, Thomas."
That's a very unusual thing for a comedian to be narcissistic, isn't it?
But she used my full name. You know, she never called me Thomas before that.
She was angry, like
a mother looking at something broken.
She was angry. You did something so obvious and didn't realise that's what it was.
Scum.
We're all on Beth's side, by the way. So
Team Beth.
I'll tell you my.
I'm really sorry, Tom, because you do genuinely love her. You're like,
mate, it's crazy.
So you went to her wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I would never do that. I think you should dislike them. I think you should hate the new partner on principle. I think that's a much healthier way of doing
things.
I knew
him before they got together. So he's a very nice man, James.
Well, that's annoying. That would just annoy me even more. Yeah.
And he's a theatre director, so do give me some work, James.
That's really why. My breakup story is perhaps not as dramatic as yours, because when I'm on the phone, if I've had enough, I just go, okay then, and put the phone down. That's how I finish phone calls.
And relationships.
okay then, bye-bye. So this was what happened. I had a boyfriend who phoned me up.
You owe British Gas how much? Okay, bye.
So I had a boyfriend who phoned me up and he went, I think we should finish. I went, okay then, and put down the phone, right? So then he phoned me back and went, I can't believe you did that. I went, well, I didn't do anything. You finished with me. He goes, well, we should discuss it. I went, well, do you want to finish with me or not? He went, yeah. I went, okay then. And then he phoned me back. And so in the end, I had to finish with him because he kept phoning me. Just stop ringing me. We're over. Anyway, I'm still single, guys.
Time of recording.
Look, she's a cracker in bed. She's easy to break up with.
What do
you want?
Exactly. Can you do my
low
advertising?
Low maintenance magnet.
Yeah, in phone boxes.
Okay then.
But do you know what I mean? What's the point of discussing it? If you want to finish, you want to finish, don't you? What's there to discuss?
Yeah, I don't think I've got a breakup story because I've been married for so long.
That's what we should all aspire to.
At time of recording.
In 6 months' time, I might have a blinder.
Tall guy in a suit who makes you laugh.
He's tall. He does wear a suit. He does make me laugh. But until that stops happening.
Does he have an above ground pool?
No, he doesn't, because he lives with me and we earn my money. He's a poor man in a Primark suit. That's
right. Onwards. Right, and we have got number 15.
Oh.
The worst gift you've ever given or received.
I'm going to do new balls.
Oh, all right.
So that means none of us can play that again.
Okay. Oh, okay.
My dad gave me a Hulk fist soap on a rope for Christmas a few years
ago. New balls.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really know what to do with that information.
Oh, no one wants to be...
Yeah. No, but no one wants to be presented that item by their dad.
Hulk wash.
Do you know what? I got talking of Hulk wash. I mean, I got a stress ball from a boyfriend. And it made me so fucking angry, I just wanted to hit him with it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's a hint, isn't it? Here's a stress ball, darling.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
For your birthday.
Right, let's roll the balls again.
Oh, hang on. What's new balls?
It means that we don't play that category.
Oh, okay.
You had the power of veto.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I forgot the rules.
Well, don't worry, you didn't need to worry
about
that.
I didn't have them laminated and printed out like Maureen. It was up at 4 a.m.
Revising.
Printing them.
Right.
I'll make them all see I'm the best podcast guest.
Ball number four is encounters with famous people.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I've got a good one.
All right.
I was in Piccadilly Circus, heavily pregnant with my father, who's a deaf. Not heavily pregnant with my father.
That's another story.
We're Arabs. It's our culture, okay? My God. God, so racist. Now suddenly Michael Barrymore's making so much sense. Oh, don't, that makes me feel sick.
You said it.
No, but especially because my dad being an Arab guy, the amount of times that every time we're together, people just assume that I'm his wife, me and my sisters are his wife, because they just assume all Arab men are old perverts married to young women. So they're like, oh, is that you? And you're like, no, that's my father. He's like 109.
Anyway. Well, you say that. I went to a lesbian disco with my mother and they thought she was my girlfriend.
Oh, God. And you're like, okay, bye.
No, she no. And you know what? She was livid because she just turned around to me and I could do better than that.
Oh, God, only a mother. Anyway, I was with, as in accompanied with my father. But I was very heavily pregnant. And we went into Costa Cafe Nero in Piccadilly Circus. And we're standing at the counter to be served. And in walks David Hay, the boxer.
Oh, yeah.
And he stands next to me. And I turn around to my dad and go, oh, my God, it's David Hay. And my dad just went, who? And I went, it's David Hay. And clearly David Hay can hear all this because there's only three of us in here. And my dad turned round, looked David Hay up and down and just went, is this your friend? And I was like, no, it's not my friend. And David Hayne was like, I'm not her friend. I don't know her. I just want to get my coffee. And I was like, I'm just, they're so embarrassed. And he's like, good luck with the baby. Can I have my coffee? See you later. And then the barista turns around to my dad and goes, David Hayne, the famous boxer. And my dad goes, I know. And my dad just around went, I know nothing about gymnastics. And went and sat down. I was just left there. The house is pregnant. Brilliant. I mean, David Hayne's quite an attractive looking man. It was just like, my dad was just like, oh, is this just one of your friends? I'm like, I'm not seven and I'm pregnant and this is really humiliating.
That is brilliant. That's a brilliant story. Well, I've been telling this story for ages. I used to have, this years and years ago, I used to have singing lessons and it was in a director's house. The guy who was teaching me said it's a director's house. And I just assumed it was a Amdram director. And then it turned out, this is what story I've been telling for years, it was Sam Mendes, right? This is the story I've been telling for years, because I didn't know, and we were just having a bit of a natter, and I found out later it was Sam Mendes. Anyway, I was telling this story for my, we do a podcast, Women Talking Bollocks, WTB.
What's this?
And with Jen Brister and Alison Smith. But, and I thought, I better check that I've got my facts right, because I know he was directing Spend at the time. That's how I knew it was Sam Mendes. Anyway, it turns out it was another director called Jeremy Sams. So I've been telling this story about how I've met Sam Mendes for years, and I didn't actually meet him. I met somebody else.
Sam Mendes asked me for a selfie.
Did he?
Because I was in Horrible Histories, and he and his kids are big fans. So.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Who were you in Horrible Histories?
I was many people. It's a sort of sketch show, so you don't play the same person for
horrible
the entire
histories.
Thing.
Yeah. My kids will kind of, they're a bit too young for Horrible Histories, but we put it on and then my husband just sits there going, this is brilliant. And I'm like, you're 42.
So I'm in the three specials they did a couple of years ago.
Have you done the Drunk Histories one as well? Because that feels very you.
Don't get me started on that.
Is this under petty grievances?
Right, yeah, well, get to the fuck.
He's angry
company.
About Beth going to Beth's wedding. He's fine
about it. Hey, I cried about that, all right.
Poor Tom.
I want to hear this story, so we're going to play the petty grievances round. Right, go.
The company who were developing it in the UK asked me and who else was it? Someone else to come up with, do a lot of work, basically. And then they cancelled on us on the day and then didn't contact either of us for when they made the series.
That grievance isn't even petty. That is legit.
Did you get some money? You must have got some money.
They did not pay me for any of the work.
That's shitty.
My grievance is really petty. I remember I was doing some event. I was event managing. Not event managing, but I was at an event. Kind of hosting it as a much younger woman, and my favourite track is I Found Loving by the Fatback Band, which used to be my ringtone, but unfortunately if ever it rang I just wouldn't answer the phone because I'd be dancing to the tune, so I had to change the ringtone. But I love this record, and it came up on the, it was playing in the background. I said to this girl, oh, that was my favourite tune, it's been my favourite tune since 1984, and she went, oh, I was born in that year. So I ran her over with the drinks trolley 3 times. So I was like, bitch. Now that's petty. That is a petty grievance.
That's so good.
I think my whole life is a petty grievance. I can't home it down to one thing. I just walk through everyday life constantly just going, F you all for everything, for not being Michael Barrymore.
Or know who David Hayne is, Dad.
Yeah, gymnastics. The famous gymnast.
Well, he's got the body
like
gym.
A British shit house.
I would love to see David Hayne attempt the asymmetric bars.
But you know, David Hayne seems to come out of that story quite well, actually, hasn't he?
No, he was very. He was pretty much like, I just want to get my coffee and go, and not cause this very large woman who I'm not sure if she's, because I was like the size of a barge. I mean, you could smash a bottle of champagne and launch me. I was massive. So he didn't really know what was going on. I could have just been a very large, simple lady with a very elderly, angry Arab man who was angry that David Hayne wasn't a gymnast. So he just wanted to get out, which is fine.
Disappointed
by
it.
Just wanted his coffee, isn't it? Just wanted coffee.
Very early. Was this round about celebrities?
we're circling back.
Do you know, but
it's a callback.
It's a callback. Because I remember I met Michael Caine. I bumped into Michael Caine. And the first thing I said to him is, are you Michael Caine? And he went, yes. I mean, it's just like...
They love that, don't they?
It's like, you know, obviously he's Michael Caine. I mean, it's like, it's like, as if he didn't know he was Michael Caine. But anyway, and then actually we were doing a leaving card for somebody. We got him to sign the leaving card, And then we took it back to work, and she didn't believe it was Michael Caine. She thought we were joking. And she didn't keep the card. Right. We went, no, it really is Michael Caine. Oh, she just wouldn't believe
that. That is very quite random. Weird gag.
Yeah. That'd be really weird. We got
Michael Caine,
Sir David Attenborough, to sign Linda from HR's leaving card. It's so funny. She's never going to fall for it.
Actually, I met Eddie Izzard on the street at the Fringe a few years ago. I was walking with my friend, and he said, and it was late at night on Princes Street, and my friend went, "That is Eddie Izzard." We turned around.
Great.
And he had turned around as well because he had heard his name.
Oh, where is he?
But he was quite drunk. And so we just chatted to him for a bit. And I said, oh, when you signed, I didn't have anything like, you know, a blank piece of paper. I just had my sort of notebook that I would write stand up in. And it was a really tatty
thing. Blank.
Just got Eddie Izzard's signature.
Smiley faces.
But I said, I've only got
lots
this.
Lots of spare pages. You can sign on them.
And he wrote, just so this is a lovely cheers. Thing to sign, Eddie Izzard.
Aww. Aww. I would have been run over by the drinks trolley by Eddie Izzard.
Are you born in 1984?
If I'd had a similar, exactly, look at your face.
I'm absolutely so livid now. I'm joining Esther in the livid stakes.
But I said, oh, I love you, when I met him. I studied your stuff for GCSE. You were my GCSE coursework. Like, he was very good about it. I would have punched me in the face because no one wants to hear that, do you? He is me, a full-grown adult. I was a child when I found you, Eddie. And then just to really hammer the point home that we could never be the friends that I had imagined, I tried to do their material back to them.
Oh,
did him the greatest hits, didn't I? Death Star Canteen.
Bad.
Smart toaster.
Bad.
I once did a Simon Munnery joke to Simon Munnery because I was like, oh, I tell this joke all the time, and I finished
it. I tell this joke all the time on stage. No. You love this.
Just like, and I always credit, credit him. But like, I did
it. Did you do it on stage?
No.
It's like a weird tribute act.
But I finished it, and he went, I don't do it like that.
Do you know what? You talk about tribute act. I actually told a comic off because she stole another comic's joke and she did it on stage. And I had a word. And I told the other comic who she'd stolen it from. And the comic rang her up and she went, oh, she said, I did it. It's a tribute act. And I went, that's not a tribute, is it?
That's theft.
Homage. She said homage. I said, you don't even mention it's from another. That's just stealing.
Yeah. It's just theft.
You can't do it on stage. And if you mention it in life, you have to credit it.
Yeah. It's not cool, guys. Not cool. Because it's funny because the ball that I was like dithering around with was pointless technology, and there was a bit of a joke theft snafu at on the ITV show recently about smart refrigerators. What do we think? Are they a thing?
What does a smart refrigerator do?
It tells you when you've run out of stuff, in theory.
And it can't just write a list.
And it gives you suggestions.
Yeah, and stick it on the fridge.
Yeah, that's what I do.
But it gives you, it scans every item in your fridge, and then it can suggest things that you can make with
what
you've got in your fridge.
Oh, that would fuck me off. Oh, sorry, that would piss me off.
No, it can fuck you off as well.
I just think that's
I don't know if
ludicrous.
The text there yet.
It's so fucking dumb. Anyone who goes, yeah, that's what's missing from my life.
I know.
Shopping list.
And the fucking doorbells. You go, yeah, you can tell who's outside your door when you're not there.
I know.
Well, what's the point if you're not there? You can't let them in.
Doesn't make any difference.
You know, it's like those books. You know, when people go, Kindles and stuff, they go, well, you know, it saves you from turning over the pages, because that's the hardest bit about reading, isn't it? Yeah. It's that turning over the page. What a nightmare. Oh, I mean, God. I'm lazy. I don't do sport, but even I don't mind turning over the odd page, you know.
No.
So is that your pointless technology that you
don't
like? No,
I tell
Maureen?
You what I really hate. This is what I hate. You phone up and then you get, so we can get you to the right person. Can you tell us? And you just think, you know what would be a lot bloody quicker? If there was a real person there answering the fucking phone. No. Oh, well, tell one if you do this. Do two if you do that. Do three, blah, blah. You do three. Do four if you do this. Do five. And then you go to it and then they go, goodbye. And then you got to go back again. I want, whoever invented that should die. That's
slowly,
what I say.
In acid.
Should die. Because they are absolutely the most irritating.
Slowly dip them in acid.
Do you know what I mean? You just want to talk. Why can't a human being answer the bloody phone and just go, you go, I want to talk about my something, and put you straight through to the department? We've got to go through a blinking electric thing. Not that I'm wound up about it, but it bloody annoys me.
The things that I hate are Fitbits.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't need to hear how many steps. That's the first thing everyone says. They'll be like, oh, I've just done 3,000 steps. I'm like, I don't know what that equates to. I don't know what that means. I don't care.
Well, you can set that yourself, so it's arbitrary.
But I wouldn't go up to people and be like, I've walked 15 minutes today. It's the most ridiculous thing. Nobody's interested. It's just another self-indulgent piece of bollocks that I'm not interested in.
Oh, just, swearing's getting worse as the show gets on.
Well, I'm a terrible swearer
it
anyway.
It is not even 11 a.m.
Just move your fucking ass, and you don't need to bang on about it. And you certainly don't need a Fitbit. Like, it's basically just walking up to someone going, I'm better than you. So just to let you know, I'm just a little bit better than you.
For me, it's a shame thing. I think I thought it would shame me into doing more exercise if I knew about it.
Just don't look at it.
Or if there were a few hundred steps to go, maybe I'd, you know, galvanise and go around the kitchen a few times. But actually what's happened is if I leave it off, I do less exercise because I think, what's the fucking point? Like, if it's not on the watch... That's a waste of my time. I don't get the credit for it. So it's
basically
wrong.
We've taken away all our willpower to do anything independently and just gone, what we need is lots of technology to tell us to do something, to advise us how to do it, and to basically...
Well, it's making everything into a game, isn't it? So that you've got an achievement. You've got
something to get. We're so infantile.
Oh, I'm level 2 at being great.
Yeah. You do get awards. I do like them. I'm like, oh, yay.
You should die in acid.
Apparently so.
You should be nailed to the floor, just out the reach of food.
I'll be run over by the drinks trolley by Maureen and dipped in acid.
Well, we're getting quite violent now.
I'm having a shocker here, lads. A shocker.
This is feminism, by the way.
Oh, yeah, totally. Tom, have you got a piece of pointless technology?
No.
No? Oh, lovely. But you made us wait for it. I like that. Typical man. Yeah.
Thinks just because he's got a penis, everyone has to wait.
Is that technology?
Yeah. Sorry, I've got a penis. I can take as long as I want to do anything.
And it is lucky number 13, the most embarrassing thing you've ever done.
Oh, God. I suppose so much.
I think basically trying to get the parents or my first ever boyfriend to like me. They absolutely hated me.
Oh.
And because they were convinced that I was going to get pregnant. And they were like, we want our son to go to university. I was thinking, well, I want to go to university. And they were absolutely adamant that I was going to get pregnant. And I kept saying to them,
sounds a bit creepy.
I was 16 at the time.
We'll get pregnant by our boy.
And I was like,
it is that time of the month.
And I was
we
like,
we will stroke your shoulders whilst you laugh.
Let me tell the story, love, because I'm funny. So anyway,
you get two extra points for that, Maureen. That clap back.
So anyway,
you've got one for the creepy voice, Tom.
I assured them, look, mate, I said, look, we're not having sex. And there is nothing more embarrassing, is there, when you're denying having sex to adults when you're 16 and when you're telling the truth, and it's the truth, isn't it? Because I would say, we're not having sex. And they'll go, don't be stupid. Everyone your age is having sex. I'm like, no, we're not having sex. And so they just went, oh, don't be ridiculous. And so it was like, the more I kind of tried to imply, telling them it was the truth, but they just wouldn't believe me. And that was the most embarrassing thing, I think, is denying having sex when you're actually not really having sex. As a teenager. That is embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, honestly, he's not making a move. I'm as surprised as you move. So I'm very sexy. But
So that was me trying to get on their good side. It was just a complete waste of time.
I think the most embarrassing thing about it, I think I've only ever had one...
one embarrassing moment in your whole life. Beth.
One night stand.
All right. And, cool.
So you're not that good. They didn't come back for more.
Well, no, when you hear the story, you'll find out fucking why.
No, he is that good. He's only had one one-night stand.
Yeah,
usually. Committed. He's got a roster.
Yeah. He's got a roster. He's got pink cane out.
That's not a euphemism, is it? Anyway, go on.
For an STI.
Do you know the phrase brewer's droop? I have the opposite. Well,
boasting.
Well, no. Okay, not that when I am flaccid, I drink, but you know that is correlation,
so
not causation.
You literally have a permanent erection the whole time you're drunk.
Basically,
so you haven't drunk for ages, have you? You haven't drunk for ages.
But
I'm guessing.
Basically, I have no problem getting an erection when drunk. But I have real problems getting rid of the erection.
Is that on your Tinder profile?
Yeah.
I've got a real problem getting rid of this erection.
Basically,
Tom's next Edinburgh show.
It's very embarrassing at funerals, pugs.
Wakes. Who's the guy with the massive hard on? Can you ask him to leave, please? You don't understand. I've got the opposite of Bruce Droop.
This might be your most embarrassing moment now, actually, to be honest.
We were having sex, and I realised that it was nothing's going to happen. So I had to say, oh, can we pick this up in the morning? And to be fair to her, she said, yeah, fine. So we woke up and we had sex in the morning, and I came so hard that I headbutted the side table. And
sorry, what position were you in?
And where were you?
This is just missionary, but sort of diagonally on the bed. And I hit my head on the corner of the table, and I started bleeding like some kind of stigmata. And then I had to sort of leave. And I saw her once years later when I was hosting a sort of live escape room thing. And I had to pretend I didn't know who she was.
No.
And can I just say, this is why
she was like,
no, it's very important. I'm not locked in a room with this man.
This is why people shouldn't have one night stands, guys. Children, if you're listening, don't have one night stands. Because this could happen to you. That is absolutely horrific.
Just an extra little detail.
I don't think we need to know.
I want it. Give it to me.
She was wearing a false mustache when we first kissed.
But so you're into that, hairy women. You like them with a moustache.
Esther's looking worried.
Especially.
There she edges away.
Don't give him any drink, for God's sake. Don't give him any drink.
Oh, God.
We'll never get out from the table.
20 shots, please.
Oh, is that why you did that?
Oh, I need like 11 of them. Oh, now like we know.
Shots so he could have a 74-hour erection.
With a woman with a moustache.
That sounds painful, doesn't it?
I know, doesn't it?
I think this might be bullying now.
Right, so last round. Does anyone want to play the fruit machine card?
I'll play it.
Are you not feeling confident in your performance?
Well, I think ever since I said I think you should be doused in acid, that you may not
have... You've probably had a few minor
points. I've lost your points.
So, maybe.
Right.
I don't know why you... I mean, I just got a little bit of a feeling that may not have endeared me to you. Fucking do it. Chris in the sound booth. We're going to do this. Strap in. Strap on in Tom's case.
He doesn't need one, does he?
I know. It's just a walking
sex shop. I haven't had any drink yet, so yes, I do.
Right.
Unless I've got 11 shots, then I need a massive dildo.
I drank 11 of them because she didn't like Sambuca, so...
Well, I think any woman who's on a date with a man, he goes, oh, I've just bought this entire table's worth of Sambuca.
We'll be getting a bit suspicious.
So I got a free T-shirt for doing it, for buying that many shots. I don't think it's legal anymore.
So, Maureen, you've got Esther's points. Esther, you've got Tom's points. And Tom, you've got Maureen's points.
Oh, right, that's better.
There you go. That took some sexy maths there that I was doing in my head.
Sexy maths. Carol Vorderman.
So, yeah, that is...
You're not going to update that to Rachel Riley. No. Surely Vorderman's more sexy margarine nowadays.
I don't know. She's trained her best, isn't she?
I know who Rachel Riley is, but I haven't watched Countdown for a very long time.
Right. So bearing that in mind, there's one more ball to play. Your biggest waste of money.
Okay, well, this is not funny.
Children.
Hang on. I've got a philosophy degree.
Five points straight after that.
I bought shared ownership property, and it's not funny. This is just an announcement to help people out there. Shared ownership, if you're thinking of doing it, don't. It's a waste of money. I found out recently, which is interesting, because, you know, like I own half the property.
Is it shared with the government?
No, it's shared with a housing association.
Oh.
And then what I found out, that if you I've paid off the mortgage, so I theoretically own half the flat.
Yeah, this is not a zinger.
It's not a zinger, but I will make me feel better to get this
Tom's
off.
Lost his erection.
Yeah, good. And no, but listen to this. If you can own half the property, if you're behind by your rent by 2 months, they can possess your property and they take everything. You don't get any compensation. You lose all the money you've invested in it.
Oh, my God.
Which, weirdly, they didn't mention when they sell you the shared ownership. So I don't know how that is shared ownership. But, you know, it's hard to get rid of people who rent. But with shared ownership, 2 months, and they can take everything. It's not funny, but I'm fucking livid about it. So I like to get that information out there. So if you're thinking of doing shared ownership, I would think twice. Just ask them about Section 8 Housing Act 1988, that topical joke.
This has been a public service announcement.
But that is a waste of money.
Okay.
But don't get me... Anyway, another thing about... No, don't get me started.
Does anyone have anything funny?
The Section 8 of the Housing Association Act is going to be Maureen's next end.
You know what? start, though, you laugh, but I am thinking of doing something about
you should.
It.
You should. You should.
There's a clip. There's a clip which Vix retweeted where I was. They did my service charges, didn't they? And I was. And I thought I was calm in this video, and then I looked at the video again. And I was like, oh, I wasn't actually that calm. Yeah, they phoned me about that video, but yeah, I was not calm. Was I? I think I was
on Twitter.
No, you controlled anger. Not. It's on Twitter. Oh, controlled okay, anger.
Well worth looking at.
Very controlled. Well, not that controlled anger. But the, yeah. But the funny thing is, that is me thinking I'm calm.
All right. I can imagine you're quite a formidable opponent.
But not very self-aware.
Well, no, not self-aware at all.
It's not all about you, Thomas.
Yeah. Lush. Right. Has anyone else got any?
I mean, nothing funny to add, but yeah. I have an MA.
Has anyone else got any facts?
Any facts that you want to share? Like last orders, last call?
Well, he might go on about his penis, but the clitoris has double the amount of nerve endings. So.
Oh.
There you go.
So it's astonishing that men can't hit any, isn't it? Really?
Well, Tom can.
No, you Tom. Yeah,
I've got loads of time to find it. Yes.
I mean, if you're going to have a really long session with Tom, you need to kind of cancel any doctor's appointments or, plans.
But just that sounds horrendous.
Anyway, you have to sit down.
Just going on. Essentially, it just sounds like you know.
You need the TV on in the background, wouldn't you? It's about Corrie. Catch up on Corrie or something.
Oh, dear. Poor Tom. I do feel like we've done you wrong here.
I mean, to be fair, he's kind of let himself in for it, I think, to be fair.
It's the most embarrassing
Kai's
thing
kill
in the
me.
Story.
What's the category we're on at the moment? I forgot, with the Housing Act.
Yeah, it's the Housing Act 1988, Section 8, I think you'll find.
Yeah, we've got an arts
biggest
degree
waste of money, you said children.
On a timeshare.
Oh, biggest waste of money, children, yeah.
Philosophy degree,
Any advance on children or just that?
I did a Master's in Drama. I mean, that was... Oh, I asked for my money back, actually.
We've all made big... And I paid for this. So we've all made really great choices.
And none of us are earning, so fantastic.
Right, and that is the end of the game. So I am going to tot up the scores. It's going to take bloody ages. While I do that, Esther Manito, where can we find you? What are you doing with your life? Give us a quick...
I'm doing nothing.
Great.
And you can find me sobbing in most co-ops. So, yeah, you can just follow me at Esmito on all the stuff except for young stuff like Snapchat and TikTok, because I don't know what they are. I refuse to find out.
Quite right.
Right. Tom Tech, what about you?
I am Turley God across the internet.
Why?
Because it's a quote from King Lear.
Bit, you're that guy.
Well, there's a bit where Edgar, who runs away because he's accused of a crime he didn't commit, and he pretends to be a mad beggar so no one notices. And one of his speeches, he goes, "Poor Tom, poor Turley God. Poor Tom."
Aww.
And in my annotated edition at A-level, it said, "There is no satisfactory explanation for this." So I thought, I love that.
So, it's catchy, and it's the same across like all your channels, isn't it?
Yeah,
because weirdly Facebook, nobody had taken Twitter, it out before you.
Instagram.
That's weird, isn't it?
there's a guy on Facebook called Luca Turley God, and he got in touch with me and said,
"We'll have him killed.
Why are you Turley God?" I said, "You're
why
not really
are you Turley God? How dare you?"
And he said, "No, that's not really my name. He's just an Italian who's studying Shakespeare." So, but that made that his name on Facebook.
Did you go out on a date?
No.
Did you bone him for 18 hours? with your anti-brewers droop.
With your 20-something penis.
I went to school with a boy called Tom Tuck.
Did you?
Yeah. And he had a twin brother called Simon Tuck.
Oh.
They were the Tucks.
Yes. Whereabouts?
Saffron Walden. Oh. Out in Essex. So you can find
the Tuck Dynasty.
They were like the hotties.
I started a group on Facebook called What the Tuck, and just invited everybody who had the surname Tuck that I could find.
Them.
You're quite lonely, aren't you, really?
I mean,
are you very busy?
Just go out and get some friends, mate.
I mean, this is whilst I was doing my philosophy degree.
I can't imagine why you don't have more friends, what with your epic boner when drinking.
Anyway.
Oh, God, I'm never going to live this down.
Tom's droop. Maureen, what are you doing?
Right, so I do my comedy chats every Thursday, which Esther and Vix have been on, and
so
it's free to join, and just four comics talking about comedy, and it's a right laugh.
Did you want Tom on or no? Because I've made it awkward.
Well, I don't do guilt, so it doesn't really matter. So, and I also do a podcast weekly called WTB or What the Bollocks with Jen Brister and Alison June Smith. And I'm Maureen Younger on all things, and the website maureenyounger.com. And I run a book club with WTB. So if you want to join the book club, feel free to.
And Tom, you like to sing the Mountain Goats, don't you?
Yes, yes. If you like the Mountain Goats, do follow me and I will be singing sing their songs.
You really are lonely, aren't you?
There's a band called the Mountain Goats.
Oh, okay.
For no apparent reason, I am now the world's leading cover band of them, and nobody even knows who they are.
As far as I'm concerned, they're a cover band of you, because I found them through you. So it's like, oh, this version's all right, but it's not Tom's version.
It's no Tom Tuck.
And yeah, on that note, I can reveal the scores. Exciting. Oh. It was really close, actually. So on 33 points, the winner, you played the right game with the fruit machine. It's Esther Minito.
Mm.
But second to Maureen, who was in on 32, but you inherited Tom's points.
Ah.
And Tom, you're on 29, because sad times.
Yeah.
Whose points did Esther inherit?
So Esther got Tom's, Maureen got Esther's, and Tom got Maureen's. But the last round was an absolute banger, which is the joy of it. You don't know, do you? That's the whole point. That's why it's a good card to play. It's a gamble. That's why it's called the arcade. So yeah, thanks for everybody for listening. Thank you guys for coming. And yeah, I'll see you all again soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Adios.
Thanks for listening. There will be a new episode with new competitors and new balls every Friday. If you like what you've heard, I've been Vix Layton, and this is Comedy Arcade. Please tell all your friends, rate the show, and hit subscribe. And if you didn't like it, I've been Jess Fossacue, and this was Hoovering. Isn't food lovely?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.